I don't know what your first thoughts were when the news broke this morning, but for me, oh, we are so back. The years of America last or our country not being respected on the world stage, y'all, they're over. Listen, we live in the greatest country in the world, and we have a president and leadership who believe that as well. And if you harm Americans, there will be consequences. And things like today, well, they just prove that. So I got a couple of points for you here, folks. Number one, we don't care who you are. You try to poison the American people with your drugs, you will be held accountable. Number two, you know how we always say that President Trump is out there playing 4D chess? Well, taking Maduro to task is just one of the many chess moves. And in this case, y'all, it's making America safer. Number three, this has major global implications. We just took out the oil that China was purchasing dirt cheap to undercut us on pricing. You see, the leadership that this country, the vision of President Trump, who understands the world stage and acts, not just talks, is incredible. And today, well, today is just a prime example of how we are getting our country back.
Invincible. Abashed, the devil stood and felt how awful goodness is, and saw virtue in her shape, how lovely, saw and pined his love. But cheaply defined, here observed, his luster visibly impaired, yet seemed undaunted. If I must contend, said he, best with the best, the sender, not the sent, or all at once more glory will be won, or less will be lost, they fear. Will save us that trial what the best can do, single against the wicked, and thence weak. We are repeating history once again. With the invasion of Venezuela just last night, I'm reminded of 1997. The Project for the New American Century, which was a neoconservative think tank based in Washington, D.C., which focused on U.S. foreign policy, began under the auspice principles of William Kristol and Robert Kagan. They believed that the Republican Party lacked a compelling vision for American foreign policy, which would allow Republican leaders to effectively criticize Bill Clinton's foreign policy record, which was lacking in itself. And during the mid part of 1996, Kristol and Kagan co-authored an article called Foreign Affairs, which was entitled Toward a Neo-Reaganite Foreign Policy, referring to the foreign policy initiative of then President Reagan. In that article, they argued that American conservatives were adrift in the area of foreign policy and advocated a more elevated vision of America's international role. They suggested that the United States should adopt a stance of benevolent global hegemony, meaning a first world power, which the idea comes from Jimmy Carter's national security advisor, Zbigniew Brzezinski, in which he wrote a book called The Grand Chessboard, which states that in order for the United States to remain a global superpower, Russia must not be able to capture Southeast Asia. Then came the CIA's and Pakistan ISI's involvement with Operation Cyclone, the largest, most successful CIA operation in history, funding the Islamists that would be awash in the Middle East into countries that previously hadn't no such problem. With the United States and Great Britain involved in destroying Arab nationalism ideologies such as Islamism, which was founded upon the principles of Wahhabism in Saudi Arabia, began to take shape, suggesting that the state did not take care of its citizens and that they should take a look inside themselves. and advocate for protests, which were funded by the CIA and Islamist religious institutions. The statement of principles for PNAC, or the Project for New American Century, called for regime change in Iraq, first and foremost. Throughout the Iraq disarmament process, through articles that were published in the New York Times, a ragtag of imperialist talking heads, following the perceived Iraqi unwillingness to cooperate with UN weapons inspectors, core members of the PNAC project, such as Richard Perle, Paul Wolfowitz, James Woolsey, Elliot Abrams, Donald Rumsfeld, John Bolton, Robert Zolnick, people who belong in hell, were among the initial signatories of the open letter initiated by the PNAC group to Bill Clinton, calling for the forced removal of Saddam Hussein, portraying Hussein as a threat to the United States. Just go back a little bit more. For people who tend to forget or weren't born, the 1993 World Trade Center bombing was initially blamed on Iraq. Ramzi Youssef, the mastermind who was behind the creation of the bomb, came inside the United States through JFK with a botched false Iraqi passport, which was meant to basically lead to the involvement of Iraq, which it didn't come true. The towers never fell. The United States kept going until there was another project called 9/11, which was blamed on Iraq. With Saddam Hussein as a perceived threat to the United States, its Middle East allies, and all the oil resources in the region, emphasized the potential danger of a weapons mass destruction under Iraq's control. The letter also assured that the United States could no longer depend on our partners in the Gulf War to continue to uphold the sanctions or to punish Saddam when he blocks or evades UN inspections, which wasn't true. The letter stated that American policy cannot continue to be crippled by a misguided insistence on unanimity in the UN Security Council. In February of 98, they also sent another letter to Clinton from the Bipartisan Committee for Peace and Security in the Gulf, which was ignored. Clinton was forced out. Bush came in barely. And then after the 9/11 attacks, the PNAC sent a letter to George Bush, specifically advocating regime change through a determined effort to remove Saddam Hussein from power in Iraq. The United States faces a similar project with Venezuela and Nicolas Maduro. Iran is a main importer of Venezuela oil. For the last 25 years, Israel, along with its allies, including the United States and silently the Gulf, led by Saudi Arabia, saw Iran as the primary threat, not to just the United States, but to the world, because of them exporting Islamist terrorism, which is false. Islamist terrorism comes from Saudi Arabia, funded and created by the essence of Wahhabism. Venezuela is not the main exporter of drugs to the United States. That is Mexico and Colombia, as well as Afghanistan. Maduro was blamed for narco trafficking and human trafficking. Not to say that Maduro himself is evil, but the United States should look in the mirror. With the capture of Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro by U.S. forces, has reignited discussions on Washington's aggressive approach to alleged narco states. And as Maduro prepares to face drug trafficking weapons charges in New York, attention should also be paid to a reminder that Donald Trump and his cronies are hypocrites. One, Orlando Hernandez, the former Honduran president, who was abruptly pardoned by Trump just last month, despite looking at 45 years for narco trafficking. Juan Orlando Hernandez served as Honduras president from 2014 to 2022, consolidating power during a period which was reportedly marked by violence, corruption, allegations, and mass migration. A key aspect of that mass migration is MS-13. Honduras was once considered a key U.S. ally, just like Iraq, a key U.S. ally that powered in Central America. Hernandez's standing collapsed after American prosecutors accused him of turning Honduras into a narco state, which was publicly cooperating with Washington's anti-drug efforts. Just last year, Hernandez was convicted and sentenced to 540 months, which turns out to be 45 years in prison, for cocaine importation into the United States and related weapons offenses. Prosecutors allege that he accepted millions of dollars from drug traffickers in Mexico to exchange for state protection. Following a three-week trial, Hernandez was found guilty of all the charges, including the importation of 400 tons of cocaine into the United States. Trump supporters, I am not picking on you. I'm just showing you the mirror. The hypocrisy of the man you support is also shown into the Democrats. The hypocrisy belongs on them, but we are the victims who fell for it. We are victims of a fallen state. And instead of trying to force change, instead of asking for a united front for a better world, we'd rather live in the hellish threshold of repetitious violence that embarks on the rest of the world until that day comes when that violence is visited upon us. And who will you be calling for beck and call for safety, security issues while taking away your civil liberties under the guise of democracy? You will, because you are afraid of an unknown future. You would rather live in the same situation that you are in now, from which you were born to the day you will die. Change is what you fear, because change requires your efforts. You would rather live paralyzed by the thought of sacrifice, which is needed in the face of an unmitigated evil that we've never seen before, an evil that we helped to create with our ignorance. And until that day comes, we will continue to live in this meat thresher of a world, living the past in the present.